City of Kirkwood Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Wednesday, February 21, 2024 is now in session. Welcome, everyone. Let the record show that 8 of our 9 commissioners are present this evening. Commissioner Washington is absent, and her absence is excused. Commissioners, after a review of the February 7, 2024 minutes, are there any edits or revisions? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the February 7, 2024 minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Salzer-Les, second. Commissioner Scott. So all in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed, raise your right hand.
Abstain.
And one abstention. We have no unfinished business this evening. We have one item of new business being PZ-11-24, major subdivision preliminary plat, 2-lot, 1956 Westview Avenue. And we'll first have an introduction by Ms. Lowry.
Good evening. So this is a request for a major subdivision for a 2-lot split. The applicant would like to keep a house on the property, and that would require a modification from the zoning and subdivision code in order to do so, and I'll explain that a little bit later. If it did not need a modification, the lot split could be approved by city staff if the house were to be demolished, because otherwise the subdivision does meet the regulations of the zoning and subdivision code. So this is the subject lot, which is south of Ballas, where Adams turns into Ballas. And then just a little bit closer view, and this is Westview Avenue and Emerson. So this is the lot in question. Just some photos from this last snowy weekend. This is the house on the lot. This is the rear of the house with the garage, and there's a deck here that I'll talk about a little bit later. This is the house from the Emerson side, and then this is the back end of the lot, which is wide open. Oops, sorry, too far. And so this is the survey, the current house, and the way our zoning code works, the primary front yard on a corner lot is the street of the least dimension, so that would be Westview. And so the rear yard is always opposite the street of the least dimension, so that's the rear yard is from the south property line. And the rear yard setback is 35 feet, so they've given the 35-foot setback there. And then the side yard setback is from the east property line, and because it's zoned R3, the side yard setback is 12 feet, so that's what this 12-foot line is right here. So the current house meets the setbacks, but the existing house is only 21.5 feet from this side property line. And so for the proposed lot, it would be split into 2 lots of roughly 15,000 square feet each, which is the minimum for R3. And they're also required to be 100 feet wide with 10% larger on the corner. So these 2 lots do meet that. The only issue is when you split the lots this way, the street of the least dimension now becomes Emerson, which means this is now the rear yard. And because the house doesn't meet that 35-foot rear setback, because this is the garage portion here. There's also a portion of the deck that doesn't meet the 12-foot side yard setback, but when we talked with the applicant, they said that could easily be removed. And so this is the proposed lots as shown with the setbacks. And also, we were given a proposed landscape plan, which mostly meets the requirements, but there are an additional 3 trees needed to be added for the density requirements. So there's a density required 1 tree per 2,000 square feet. And also, the other thing we needed probably moved are these 2 proposed trees here, a little bit closer to the intersection than we'd like. And they did provide a petition today. I emailed that all to you, that they talked to neighbors, and I'll let them talk about that a little bit more, but just that was emailed to you today. And so for the preliminary plat, there are a number of review criteria, and I also have that sheet up there for you. And because they're asking for a modification, there's also review criteria for that. So basically, a modification is the review criteria is the same as those for a variance that the Board of Adjustment looks at. So this section right here for an area or dimensional variance is the same criteria that the Board of Adjustment would be looking at to get a variance, and so you should be looking at those criteria as well, and there are 7 criteria there. I'm available for any questions you may have, and the applicant is here as well.
Larry, so the lot is, it's a legal lot right now?
It's a legal lot of record right now.
Okay, all right. So I'll start on my lap. Commissioner Clifford.
Amy, I spent some time looking at the diagrams and everything. I'm still just a little confused. So let's start with lot A. The rear setback should be 35 feet, and it is what?
Well, the current house is sitting just 21.5 feet from what would be the rear property line if the original lot was subdivided as shown.
Okay, but that still doesn't meet the 35-foot criteria.
Correct.
Okay, then on lot B, I'm a little turned around. So is what I would call the north portion of the lot and where the proposed house is, that also does not meet the setback, correct?
Well, no, because so this lot, its front yard would be on Emerson.
Okay.
And so the same thing. So its rear yard would also be from the east property line. So there's a 35-foot rear yard setback here. And because this is an interior lot, there's 12-foot side setbacks from both the north and south property line. So okay. I don't know what they did show a house fitting into those setbacks.
So
but this is just proposed.
A little fuzzy. So the only setback concern is on lot A, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
So Amy, this would be very similar to the one we discussed last month in terms of they wanted to take the current house on lot A and expand it. They could expand it into the new setback rule.
That's correct. If it's, they could expand, the way our code is now, they could expand along this line until they got to the 12-foot side setback. Similarly, I didn't get into the corner lot, but in R3 and R4, we have primary and secondary setbacks. And when it's a corner lot, the secondary setback is from the street of the most dimension. And in R3, that setback is equal to 20% of the lot width. So they've shown the secondary front yard setback is here. So basically, they could come within this area for additions.
So again, for not having a project like this in 20 years, we've now had 2 in 2 months?
That's true.
Okay.
I guess. I can't go back 20 years because I didn't check
whatever,
on that.
Whatever. Yeah. All right, so I will again, just as we're doing it here, express my thing of I really think we should be against this in terms of opening Pandora's box and whatever. I think this is another one that's opening Pandora's box for side setbacks, rear setbacks, and allowing them to expand into areas where we really don't want them expanding in the future.
And I will point out the difference between the last case is that was a lot of record before 2014, and they weren't seeking to have another additional lot to build on.
I understand.
No questions?
Commissioner Salazar.
So in lot B, is that the real proposed house?
No, it might be. I mean, you can ask the applicant. Usually it's, you know, a representation. They're not going to be held to this exact house.
Okay, so I guess I'll wait because we'll be able to ask them questions.
Sure.
Yeah, could you please describe the deck issue again? I am confused on that.
Okay, so the deck, and I'll show it on this one. So once the lot is subdivided, this now becomes the side yard.
Yes.
And the deck, you can see just a little portion of it is in the side yard. And so that portion would have to be removed.
Okay.
And we talked about asking for a modification for that as well, but they decided that it's not that difficult to it's an older deck, so.
Okay, okay, fair enough. That's all, thanks.
Commissioner Scott?
No questions.
Anything, Larry? Would the petitioner like to address the commission?
Hello, my name is Sydney Rash. I work for Benchmark Custom Homes, and this is also my dad, who owns Benchmark Custom Homes. So, in short, Amy did very well at explaining it, and thank you all for being here tonight. Obviously, there's not much you guys have to talk about. So, in short, I know, Ron, I think it was, who made a comment about the additions and being able to then expand. So this house actually, just to put it out there, I am looking to keep it for myself as my first home. As you guys know, there's not much affordable housing out there in Kirkwood especially. And being born and raised in Kirkwood, I really want my first home to be in Kirkwood and stay in Kirkwood. So I'm not looking to expand, definitely cannot afford to do that anyways. I don't plan on ever adding on to this house. And I actually did not know about that, so good to know, but I definitely don't plan on adding anything on. Like Amy said, I do plan on cutting that, I think it's a couple of inches into the side setback on the deck. I do plan on cutting that up off if this is approved. The unfortunate part is if this is not approved, then we will go for a minor subdivision approval and we will have to tear down the house. That is unfortunately the only other way that we are able to purchase this lot and go about this lot. And that's not something that I know Kirkwood really likes to keep affordable housing, and it's not something that's often. And so, you know, keeping the trucks off the street, a house that's in great shape, if we can keep it out of the landfill, I think it makes most sense too. We also went to all of the neighbors around there. There was 7 houses that we hit, so all the houses that touched the property, including the ones on the other side of the property, across the street we talked to, and 7 out of 7 neighbors approved and said it would be nice to see the house kept rather than tearing it down. Especially the neighbor that it would affect, which I believe was the east neighbor on that new rear yard setback. His name is Brian, I believe, and he, thank you. His name was Brian, and he was very adamant on wanting to keep the house and was saying, I'll do whatever it takes for you guys to keep this house. So that was nice to hear. So I think that's all that I have to add. Deb, you got anything?
Yeah, I kind of want to address to make sure, Mr. Evans, that when you had mentioned or compared this possibly to the other case, I don't know if that case was trying to do an addition or not that would go further into the setback. I wasn't clear myself. We're not looking to change any condition whatsoever on that existing house. That distance from the current house and the neighbor's house will not change if this is approved. Now, if this isn't approved, just we've got to tear down the house. Quite frankly, me as a builder, I'm always looking for Kirkwood lots, and I'd love to have 2 lots here, but I would also love to see my daughter get into an affordable house in Kirkwood. And this, to me, makes good sense. Give up a good building lot, keep a little construction traffic, 50% of the construction traffic off of this road, disrupting the neighbors as it is. So it's really a pretty simple decision. Which way you go is, you guys got to decide what makes sense. Do we tear down an affordable house, even though a situation is not going to change between the 2 houses, or not? Any questions?
Start on my left, Commissioner Cole.
Well, I will say I'm a little distressed by the setback issue on Lot A. Have you looked at moving that house?
It would not financially be worth it. The house has got great bones. It's a full masonry house, a wonderful foundation. It's brick all the way around. Moving brick houses in itself is not a great thing to do. But no, financially, it would not be affordable. The house would just come down.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the deck, again, we're happy to cut off that 6 inches or 10 inches, whatever it needs to make that setback. The other option to try and entertain a little more of your idea would be to cut the garage off. but then really it gets difficult to figure out. I don't think there is any place we could put a garage on that property, given it's a corner lot and what have you. So I would be advising her not to buy this house from me if it does not have a garage.
And once again, if you were to demolish the Lot A house, you would have two buildable lots.
Yes, sir.
And you are a home builder, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
33 years in Kirkwood.
Commissioner Evans?
No questions.
Commissioner Fine?
I have no questions.
Commissioner Hamilton?
No questions.
Commissioner Sosworth?
My question is about impervious surface. And Jonathan, can you remind us of the impervious surface percentage? So if we have two houses there, is it going to meet the standards?
Yeah, they'll be subject to meeting lot coverage. And I think, Amy, you looked at lot coverage for the existing house, right, on the proposed lot. So it meets the code requirements for lot coverage. And the impervious surface, it's not capped in our regulations as anything, but they have to mitigate based on impervious. So, but yes, the any new house on Lot B and the existing house on Lot A would be required to meet lot coverage, and then the new construction on B is the southern lot, right? The new construction on B would be subject to the infill stormwater regulations.
Just at a first glance, when I saw the sketched house on Lot B, it seemed like it covered a great percentage of the.
Yeah, it's always deceptive when you cut out the front and rear yards and put a house in the middle third of it. Everybody, it visually it looks like it takes up a majority of the lot, but it doesn't. It's just kind of an optical illusion when you look at things like that. So.
Okay, thank you.
Just to reiterate, you had zero neighbors saying they had a problem, correct?
Zero. There were two doors that did not answer, but the 7 out of 7 we spoke with, hands down, said they would rather see it this way.
Okay.
And I think you have that copy in front of you guys. Real quick, if I can comment to your impervious area, a new house would have a larger footprint than what we have there today on the existing house. Now, we'd have to build the rain garden appropriate to accommodate that, but we would be creating more impervious area with new construction there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Commissioner Scott?
Correct me if I misheard you, but you said you would be against her buying a house that didn't have a garage, because lots of houses have a garage. What is so significant about having a garage?
Well, in our family, being car people, in fact, she could answer that herself. I'm pretty sure she wouldn't buy a house without a garage at this time. But to have a house, you know, her hope is to fix this house up. And it's got, I think, what, 2,000 square feet?
It's a little less.
A little less than that?
Yeah,
it to me, having a 2,000 square foot home without any garage is not an ideal situation. And again, it's just my opinion. I'm obviously an investor, builder, speculator, and I like to see my daughter make good decisions. And at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't mean she won't buy another house in Kirkwood. Not a whole lot that's affordable at her age, but she is dead set on living in Kirkwood. Grew up in Kirkwood, all my business in Kirkwood, graduated Kirkwood. She wants to continue that.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, the other question I had was, Amy, you touched upon the three missing trees. Is that due to the offset?
No, there's room for more trees on the lots. They just didn't calculate it correctly.
Okay, so there's no reason why they can have the three other trees
on
there?
No issue with that at all.
That's it.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Right. No other questions?
I don't think there's any
thank you. Yes,
okay. So do I have a motion to approve PZ-11-24 major subdivision preliminary plat 2 lot 1956 Westview Avenue, subject to the conditions contained in the February 16, 2024 letter from Ms. Lowry to the petitioner?
Yes.
Okay, good. Commissioner Hamilton, have a second?
I'll second.
All right, Commissioner Coulson. So we have a motion to approve and a second. I will now open discussion on PZ 1124, and I'll start on my left. Commissioner Coulson.
Well, I struggle with this petition. It would appear to me that this, I would characterize this as a self-inflicted hardship. I think it's a big ask to infringe upon what should be a 35-foot setback. And I typically try to find reasons to approve these sort of petitions, but I'm really struggling with this.
Two questions for Ms. Lowry, possible. The deck could also be wrapped around and built into that area. I mean, the deck could be wrapped around the house and built into the new setback area. You know what I'm saying? It could be built into that 20 foot area.
So a deck can't go in a side setback at all. But a deck is allowed to encroach up to 10 feet into a conforming setback. So a deck actually couldn't. So the house is already 21 feet.
Right.
The setback is 35 feet, so a deck could only come within 25 feet of the rear setback.
Okay, so the deck could be built into the extend past the 35 foot.
Yes, only 10 feet, though, so a deck couldn't go as far as the house is, though.
And then I did email you, and I just wanted clarification on this. Where, if you go to the big one, where is this house or this thing compared to the mid-century modern neighborhood?
Oh, that is behind the park, so it's back over here.
I'm sorry,
Sugar Creek Ranch.
The wrong thing. Back over where? Sorry, I'm not
looking. Sorry, Sugar Creek Ranch is back over here. It's basically behind City Park.
All right, that's fine. I just didn't.
This is not a historical designated area.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with Commissioner Klippel. At present, we have a conforming lot. We have a house that complies with all aspects of the code. The reason we're considering this is that the applicant wishes to take one currently conforming lot and convert it to two separate lots, one which conforms and one which does not. And I think that is not something we want to start considering. This, I see this being different from the situation we had, I think it was in January, where we had an applicant who was in the position he was in largely because of bureaucratic snafus prior to and in connection with his acquisition. And I saw that applicant as just trying to make the best of a difficult situation to try to create, the task there was to create a lot. This is really different. And while I'm not here to encourage people to tear down perfectly usable existing homes, we can't control that, and I don't think we should, I won't use the word threat, but I don't think we should use that as a reason to make a decision which is not in the best interest of the city of Brooklyn.
And I would agree with on my left. I think it sets a bad precedent. I think just from a technical reading of the code, we don't have the authority to approve this. As far, I mean, the extraordinary hardship. I mean, it's a self-imposed hardship. So I really don't have much more to add on that.
Well, I'm going to disagree. I think that number one, we're making a recommendation to the council, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the council has final approval. I think we should work with the existing property owner. I think that this gets torn down and a McMansion gets built. I just disagree.
Go ahead. Mr. Salzer-Letz?
I don't think I have anything else. Thank you.
Commissioner Coulson?
So I just have, I'm listening to what you all are saying, and in order, the reason why when you divide it into two lots that there's non-conforming is because then the setbacks change. We now have to look at a street, a different street for the setbacks and recalculate everything. So I correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a way to divide these two lots where they both would conform and still be able to build on it? Because you're always going to have the other streets as your setbacks. There are 35-foot setbacks. Mm-hmm. So I respectfully disagree with the first four folks, and I'm very much for being able to make exceptions, especially when we have usable, affordable housing. So that's my piece.
Mr. Scott?
I struggle with this too, but I do think this is totally different than what we approved previously. And no disrespect to them, but I think it's a little self-serving, and I just can't be on board with it.
So I will now call for a vote to approve PZ-11-24 major subdivision preliminary plat, two lot, 1956 Westview Avenue, subject to the conditions contained in the February 16, 2024 letter from Ms. Lowry to the petitioner. All in favor, raise your right hand. Two, all opposed, raise your right hand. Failed 6-2. And so I think you're, John, if you can explain it, you can go to, you
yeah.
go to.
Sure. So as it was mentioned, this is a recommendation to the city council. So if you choose to continue, that they'll receive this recommendation. But we can talk with you all about what dates that would be. Amy, you can talk to Amy about it, and we'll outline the process. So. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we now have a commission staff internal items, and first thing will be PZ-12-24 staff initiated zoning code text amendment, personal and commercial services, hours of operations in B1.
Okay, so this is every once in a while we find out things from the code that we approved 3 years ago that we wished we had caught things and done things differently. And in the B1 zoning district, both retail and restaurant uses are limited in hours. Both of those have conditions that say they shall not operate between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. So there's no such restrictions for personal and commercial services uses. And some of this is the definition of it, but some of those uses include health and fitness studios that traditionally have early morning hours. And we're concerned that some of those uses might have an adverse effect on residential neighborhoods, if not limited in hours. And there are also other uses in this category that should be limited due to customer-based operations. So staff is suggesting that in the use specific standards for personal commercial services, and we did just change this last month, but we had added this condition in the I-1 district that lots with frontages on South Kirkwood Road, Grand Avenue, and Prospect Avenue were permitted, but then personal and commercial services were still special uses everywhere else in I-1. We already have the condition that in B1 and B2 districts, the maximum size of these tenant spaces cannot exceed 2,000 square feet. And so the suggestion would just be to add in the B1 districts, establishments shall not operate between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. so that it reflects the same conditions for as in retail and restaurant uses. Just to show you where the B1 properties are clustered, We have these little neighborhood nodes that they're in. There are also just some odd ones in downtown, and then there's some on Big Bend Road as well. The reason why this did come up is, if you will recall, the dance studio up here on Essex, that went through the special use permit process because at the time, that use was a special use. It is no longer. But the space up there is actually more than 2,000 square feet, so it couldn't, the whole space couldn't be used for a physical one-tenant space. But if they were divided into two spaces, then it could be used for a personal and commercial services use, and there would be no hours on the no limitation on the hours there. And so this was just something that staff felt should be changed because of the location of some of these B1 lots in relationship to residential lots. And I will go into a little bit of detail. We do have two physical fitness facilities that are in R1 zone properties. One is the Bar-X Fitness over at the old McDonald's Market. That is operating under a special use permit. The tenant space is over 2,000 square feet, so therefore the special use permit would still be in effect there. And they have approved hours from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday. The second one that also received a special use permit before we changed our code was a, it's called River North, and it is in the little Big Bend little shopping center that was built. And there were no hours in the special use permit ordinance for that use, but the occupancy application did have operating hours of 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. 6 days a week. So if that use continued, if this code change was made, that those hours could still be continue as a non-conforming. So those are the two that would be affected by this. I did not come up with any other uses that might be affected, but that the idea is just to kind of protect the neighborhoods.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Lowry? Start on my left.
No questions.
Mr. Evans?
So I'm sorry, what exactly spurred this on? I mean, somebody just had a light bulb moment, or is there something that really spurred this on?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's also, we know the dance studio is trying to vacate the space up here, and we've had some inquiries about what could be used in the space, and if someone took over the entire space, that also is a special use permit, and because it's over 2,000 square feet total, they would have to assume the special use permit that the dance studio was in. And we did limit the hours of the dance studio, and there were all kinds of other limitations, if you remember, if you were on the commission at the time, but we didn't allow queuing. We told the patrons of the studio that they had to park their cars and walk the students into the facility so that we didn't have traffic. And so there were things that, and there was 15 minutes between classes, so there wasn't a whole bunch of, again, queuing and traffic in the parking lot between classes. So that's kind of what spurred this on.
Okay, so if a yoga studio moved into the dance studio, where it is, they couldn't have classes at 6 a.m.?
If they moved into the full 2,000, it's the whole building is 2,500 square feet. So if they took the whole space, 2,500 square feet, they could not have classes at 5 a.m. However, if the space was split in half and they only took half of the space, we have no limitations on what hours they could operate.
I'm sorry, that just seems silly. I don't understand the logic behind that.
Yeah, so the...
Okay, thank you.
So the use of, in this case, the yoga studio is only allowed, the size restriction was put in place because they wanted the committee at the time and ultimately you all and council and staff wanted to limit the size to neighborhood-based or neighborhood-sized, scaled businesses, right? A neighborhood gym or a neighborhood retail rather than having a big 10,000 square foot, right, gym. So that's the reason for, and for the size restriction. What Amy's saying is, it's basically a loophole right now in this current space, is because there's the whole building and the dance studio's tenant size is larger than that 2,000 square foot, they're considered a non-conforming use because they don't comply with the 2,000 square foot size restriction. So that means they're subject to the special use permit that was approved prior to the code change. So they're grandfathered and subject to the other conditions. If they were, if they had the special use permit and the code was changed and they were at 1,900 square feet, all those conditions of the special use permit would go away because they're a permitted use now when we change the code. So they're subject to the existing special use permit conditions because they exceed the 2,000 square foot size. You're with me so far? So then what Amy's saying is a way to comply and become a permitted use under the current code with no hours of operation restriction is to comply with the 2,000 square foot. This exercise is what brought staff to bring this to the attention of the group, is because I don't think, I know we discussed hours of operation and I know we looked at all the B1 use categories and we talked about retail and restaurant being more, what's the word I'm looking for? More impactful, right? But I think the more that staff has thought about all these different classifications that fit in here, particularly the gym use, we think it's best to include those same restrictions to this category.
All right, just my gut immediately. My gut initially says this is going to restrict development, not help development, but I just need some time to digest this for a little bit. Mr. Finer, I'll pass to you.
Thank you. Well, as I understand, the only thing we are doing with this proposed code amendment is putting a limitation on operating hours.
Correct.
And it's not, you know, this is, I don't see this as unduly restrictive. I think it's basically permitting operation from 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. As a practical matter, I just don't see that getting in the way of uses of these buildings.
Okay, and I guess my initial thought is, you know, call me small town Kirkwood-ish or whatever that way, but a neighborhood bakery. You know, it's going to open at 6 a.m. and serve coffee and croissants and or a neighborhood yoga studio. You know, you do yoga at 6 a.m. I mean, that's where my mind is going that way in terms of it. And I realize it's different.
Or the why.
Okay, or neighborhood why. Yeah. Right. Good point there, Daryl. But my mind's going 100 different ways. You know, on the opposite side, I totally agree that a electronic music dance club in the neighborhood. I'm not restrict the hours on that, but that's where I'm just going. I'm more on the morning side than I am on the evening side. Okay.
Mr. Pratt?
Mr. Ingleton? Yeah, I don't think it's going to restrict economic development at all. I agree with what you guys are proposing.
Good catch. But I'm a little bit torn too, because when I go to work out, I work out at like 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. When I did my physical therapy, when I broke my leg, I went at 6 a.m. So I don't know. I don't think it'll hurt us too bad. But
so just again, sorry, I have to ask, mm-hmm. if you got a special use permit, you could not request different hours?
If you had a special use permit in effect, you can come back and ask to change conditions under the special use permit.
But if there's no special use permit currently, mm-hmm. you make this change and then a yoga studio wants to come in,
then they will know that they could only operate.
They couldn't do a special use permit and say, I want to operate at 5 a.m. to whatever. They couldn't do that?
No.
We would have to make this use category of personal commercial service as a special use category. So we've made them permitted to streamline the process for businesses subject to conditions, like operating hours, because of their location within residential neighborhoods. So if we wanted to allow the ability for them to request different hours, it would have to be done as a special use in that district.
So they could...
We would have to amend the code.
You have to amend the code.
Yeah, it would no longer be a permitted use. It would change it to a special use, which would then make everybody come back.
That would complicate everything.
And that's the way it was before. In B1, we only had like 10 or 15 uses that were permitted, and there was a whole list of special uses.
I was just trying to think of a way, because for the majority of it, you don't want them there that early making a lot of noise,
yeah.
But there's some, like a bakery or a yoga studio, they're quiet. So.
Well, and they may be, and they also may be, you know, with cars these days, as you shut your door and beep your lock.
Well, that's true.
You're right next to somebody who's trying to sleep.
Yeah, right. That's true. Okay.
Commissioner Scott?
Yep. Correct me, Amy, if I misheard you, but if that space is divided, there are different hours they can have.
If it's divided, so the way the code currently reads is it's in B1 and B2, the maximum size of the tenant space cannot exceed 2,000 square feet. So if they decided they were going to rent half of that space, I think it's about 2,500 square feet, the one on Essex. If they were only going to rent half to one tenant, we would have to allow that tenant to come in because the maximum tenant space is not more than 2,000 square feet. And then we don't have a restriction on hours.
So in theory, somebody could open up two separate businesses in that space divided up and have no restrictions on hours.
Correct.
They can have a yoga studio on one side and a dry sauna on the other side, and there would be no restrictions on the hours.
Correct.
But it would have to be legally subdivided, correct?
No, I mean, the tenant space could be, they come in and build a wall between it. We allow
it,
that.
It would need to be a fire rated type wall. It would be sure. Demise to demise space.
Subject to
demising wall, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So currently this impacts two businesses right now, correct?
I mean, it does and it doesn't, because in the case of Bar X, that's already larger than 2,500 square feet. And so the special use that they got a number of years ago would remain in effect.
So
there.
Grandfather did.
They're, yes, and they're still subject to the special use permit. In the case of the River North one, that space is less than 2,000 square feet. And so they would be subject to the new hours, except that it was a special use at the time, and they put in their occupancy application certain hours. So we would allow those hours to continue as non-conforming.
I would be more concerned by the nature of the business than just simply a general broad statement of any business. And I'm with Ron on this, is that it's kind of restrictive in terms of, because like I said, the Y is open, there are other places that are open at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it seems like, and the Y, I mean, their house is right across the street from the Y.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a problem with the restriction of the hours, if it's just simply just broad. If it's based on industry, that's totally different.
Okay.
Amy, do I have this, you know, you circled, you put up the city map and circled it. I looked at the zoning map this afternoon, and it seemed to me that the aggregate square footage of buildings zone B1 is relatively small.
In lot size, or the number of lots?
The aggregate square footage that we that we would be burdening.
Is relatively low.
Is relatively low.
That's, yeah, I mean, there's probably less than 25 lots that are zoned B1.
And so, perhaps addressing some of the comments here, there will continue to be options in the other B zones for yoga studios, some of the bakery, some of the things we've talked about, and perhaps 6 a.m. makes sense.
Bakery's not a good excuse. That would fall with the restaurants.
Yeah.
That still falls under the restaurants. That's already seven, that's already restricted.
So it's, and I guess, and again, I don't want to, you know, the fact that it's only affecting a relatively small amount of square footage is interesting and is important, but not necessarily controlling, I guess. That,
okay.
But I just don't see it as being that significant a burden myself.
So, Jonathan, isn't one of your responsibilities economic development?
Yep.
Do you see this as a burden, as economic development to the city?
So, I mean, it will prevent some businesses from going into these specific spaces. I think, as Commissioner Finer pointed out, it's one of the least areas, right? It's one of the smallest districts that we have as far as what land it applies to for business districts. So, I mean, it will not allow some businesses to go into these places, but that's always what the city has to weigh versus what's the impact on the adjacent properties, right? In these cases, these are nestled into the neighborhoods. That's why they're B1, they're neighborhood business districts, right? And so that's the balance. So sure, it will impact some potential business activity, but we determined that was appropriate for retail and restaurant when the code was changed previously. I will say too, I was just trying to take a note. I know with Commissioner Colson's question, I don't believe we have this in the code right now, but the proposed language, and I would talk to our city attorney about this later, but the proposed language, I believe, could be revised to allow for hours of operation outside of this, subject to request for a special use permit. So that if they comply, they can be a permitted use. But if they want to request time out earlier or later than these, they would have to go through the special use permit process. My one concern, at least at this point, about that is that you're really getting down into, again, remember, special use permits can transfer from business to business. So you really have to, you'd be really looking at like the subcategories in this larger category. But realize a yoga studio, I don't know that we could prevent a yoga studio changing to a CrossFit studio.
I see.
Right? They're still physical fitness gym activity, right?
Unless we put it in the special use permit saying something around that.
Well, I can tell you, I live near that dance studio, and the decibel noise level is really minimal when they were in operation.
I mean, you got street noise too. Sure. You know, you got that kind of stuff. I know, I understand doors and that, but yeah.
So what is the, is the starting time 7 or 8 for construction in Kirkwood?
7.
7? That's what I thought.
And this is not something you need to vote on tonight if you want to think about it and get input from city attorney on special use permits.
So Jonathan, it sounds like what you're proposing is language that would be including but not limited to, so a business who wanted to expand the hours from what you've proposed would have that option or alternative. Is that a fair assessment? Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, that's, but I agree with Amy. I don't think there's a particular rush to this. We wanted to bring it up as soon as we identified it, but if the majority of the commission isn't comfortable with the simple amendment, but is interested in looking at a hybrid of a special use permit route, it probably would be a good idea for us to discuss that with city attorney.
I think it's beneficial if we can be inclusive as possible, you know, because we want businesses.
Agreed.
I guess when the special use permit for the one in Donald's Market, obviously we decided at that point, maybe not, yeah, I think I was on here, we decided at that point, 5 o'clock was fine.
Yeah. And you may vote on this tonight and might not want to change this.
If there are no time limitations imposed in the code, I mean, does that mean somebody could operate 24/7 if they wanted to?
Yep.
I think that laundromat in the B1 is 24/7.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that is already there, so.
On West Woodbine?
West Woodbine?
Right, yeah.
I think it has hours of operation restrictions on it. I know I've received complaints about it, and I know the police have been by. This was a couple of years ago, so I know the police have gone by, but haven't heard anything recently, probably the past couple of years.
You know, without making Jonathan's life more complicated than it is, one thing I like about the carving out the possibility of a special use permit with hours modifications is, one, it addresses the concerns of some of the commissioners, and two, it would permit the commission and council to address any specific concerns which may be engendered by extended hours at that specific location. Mm-hmm. And as the chairman pointed out, apparently at that McDonald Market location, that perhaps was deemed so isolated that no one much cared what the hours of operation were.
Let me ask this. So I guess at this point nobody's made a motion or anything. I guess we can just, is generally everybody okay with maybe looking into the special use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look into the special use aspect of it?
Absolutely.
I guess one other consideration is, I think, Amy, you told me that we would not have a meeting on the
6th.
This might require us to have a meeting.
I don't think that's necessary to have a meeting.
No, I mean, it's up to you all. If I don't want to push it too long.
But we're also kind of in this, now we're coming up into this gray area where we can't have any public hearings before council until early May because of the election and the timing to advertise a public hearing before council. We're not going to be able to catch the old council and follow something all the way through. So
if we moved on this today, would you be able to present this to existing council?
No.
So you're already there.
Yeah, because it wouldn't get public hearing until late March, and then it wouldn't go through both readings with the current council. So yeah, we missed that.
Oh, then there is no option.
Yeah, so that it would get delayed anyway. So I think if the consensus is for us to do a little more research on the special use option, I would propose that we either bring it back to you when there's another agenda item on an agenda, or basically when it would line up with the next council opportunity, if that's acceptable.
Yeah, proposal table. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, I was going to say, do we need a motion to table?
It would be a motion
to continue.
Well, so table is indefinite, yeah. What? But continuing would need a specific agenda date. That's the problem.
Well, you could continue it to the March 20th if everyone wants to.
But then we would have to.
Then we would have to meet. We
have to have the meeting.
Would
anybody object to
March 20th?
We might have other business, we might not.
She's not looking.
I am expecting one more thing that probably will come in.
Starbucks.
Just continue. Do I have a motion continue this agenda item to March 20th, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting? Commissioner Finer, do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Salazar Lutz. All in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed, raise your right hand. Okay, unanimous.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, I think it's better to be more thoughtful about it than not.
Well, it was a good catch.
Yes.
Like you said. So, I mean, no apologies necessary.
I think part of it is.
And real quick, March 20th is spring break week. I mean, for Kirkwood School, are we all old enough that we're not doing spring break anymore?
I won't be in town.
You won't be in town?
No.
Yeah, I probably won't be around.
I'm just.
Are you doing spring break by yourself?
You guys want to
no, I'm not doing spring break. I'm doing spring break
back.
March 6th
no,
meeting
going
and going to
see my mom.
Checking on Alan's youthful orbits, right?
Whatever you say. You're going to Florida? Spring break?
If there's not a quorum, if you continue something to a meeting that there's not a quorum, it would just get carried over to the next agenda.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
We good?
Yep.
Okay. Good. All right. So next items for internal is quarterly update, and hopefully you all got a hard copy of that at your spot with you. And so it's been a little delayed, but this is actually the fourth quarter of 2023. It always takes us a little time to gather that information, but it took me a little longer than I had hoped this time. But anyway, I'm going to just call out a couple items as I usually do. On page 3 of the update, just some items under the the walkable connections, 5A on page 3, walkable connections between residential areas and neighborhood commercial areas. And this same update comes up in another objective, but it's just an update on some of the ongoing pedestrian street and pedestrian projects. I just want to call it the Longview Boulevard project, which has a sidewalk being added in the median, is under construction. I haven't been by myself, but I've heard it's pretty far along in construction. So that's been under our pedestrian bicycle plan for a long time as a gap to be filled. And South Guyer Road project is also, construction has begun on that, and that will include ADA upgrades, pedestrian enhancements, and bicycle facilities. To continue similar to the other half of Guyer Road that was done in the past. Then.
Jonathan?
Yep.
When is the road diet going to be done on Kirkwood?
So Kirkwood Road project is slated for winter of 2025 for construction.
So they're not going to do it until then? No.
Yeah, it's a grant funded project, so it's just a matter of the schedule. So it has to go through all of those right-of-way processes, final design. So they're multi-year projects.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yep. All right. Then I'll skip to page 7 under objective 2F, which is implement the recommendations again of the Kirkwood pedestrian and bicycle master plan. And just as an update, the city did submit an application for phase 2 of the Grants Trail extension earlier this month to the surface transportation, the STPS program. So that would be the final portion of this if we're fortunate enough to get it funded.
Jonathan?
Yep.
If that second application should be successful, would this project still be constructed in two phases?
Yes. So the 1A and 1B were close enough approved that should be able to be joined together in construction, but there will be some delay between the two phases at this point,
Okay. Just
because there's enough time has passed between the funding cycles.
Jonathan, on 2A, 1, reevaluate and update. Let's see, the pedestrian bike plan. Is there any discussion about updating the bike and walk plan from 2015?
Not currently, I guess. I mean, we're, you know, we always look to, I mean, that's a plan, so now 8 years, 9 years old is the one that we're in the process of implementing, but we still have work to do under it. So there hasn't been any discussion of a large-scale update to that plan yet.
And the enhanced sidewalk connectivity between neighborhood parks and schools, so you've got a grant now for safe routes to school. Is yep. that is that going to address any of this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the SS4A Safe Streets and Roads for All grant right. program. That project will have with our staff and the consultant is actually a kickoff next week. So it'll be about the Safe Routes to School component is right now under the grant agreement slated to be completed by October of 2025. So again, all these things take some time.
Oh, yeah.
But yep, it'll be underway. Really, I would expect it's even possible the Safe Routes to School could get involved with the school district maybe this semester towards the end, but it'll definitely be focused primarily next school year. And then, but yeah, it'll have a great impact on identifying strategies and projects to make safer connections to all the schools.
When does the city find out from East West Gateway if they recommend the second half of the corridor from Grants Trail to be funded?
I believe the initial recommendation to their transportation committee, I think that's late May is when we'll know.
And is that grant for $4 or $5 million?
Oh, I should have come with more of this information. We were able to reduce the cost from the original application because everything was fine-tuned and actually right-away cost, we were able to get some better comparisons. And I want to say the total project cost was just over $4 million, if I remember correctly, that we submitted.
And that's 80-20, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to thank, I think you guys have done a very good job on the corridor extension from downtown Kirkwood to Grants Trail. And I think when that's completed, I think it's going to be a boom for the city.
Appreciate that. We're excited about it and hope the funding, the rest of the funding comes through. So, all right, the last item I wanted to call attention to is on page 11. Let's see. Half of this update on item 1A is provided from the Parks Department, just in that the KPAC has been expanding a lot of its offerings. Hopefully you've all been able to get to the different events, various events at KPAC with concert series and different art gallery. But then the second half is an update more from the development side, is just that the city did close on the purchasing of land on Leffingwell to relocate the public works facility, which then is related to this goal because it opens eventually. Once the facilities are relocated, then that opens up the public works center property for redevelopment, which has been the long-term goal. So it's a big step in this process.
Approximately, how long is it going to take to relocate the public works? 3 years, 4 years?
A little bit depends on the now tenant, the previous owner who's leasing back has up to 2 years to vacate. So a little bit depends on if he decides to utilize all that 2 years or leave sooner. But I'd say, and then there's going to be upfit time, right? So we're going through design of that upfit, the renovation plans starting. That's started. I mean, I would just roughly, I would say, if the 2 year option is taken, you know, we're looking at 3 years minimum. So
you think you can upfit it in a year, right?
I'm probably not the best person to ask, but I think that would. The building's in very good shape. So yeah, I think that's very feasible. I think
the recycling center moved to
everything other than the performing arts center that the city owns in that area will relocate to the property on Leffingwell.
That's the new next to your house.
Any other questions? Then just, other than moving on to development project updates quickly, the item that you all approved for the special use permit with the stained glass studio on West Adams, that is set for public hearing before the council on March 7th. And we do have construction plans under review now for the Seven Brew restaurant, so they're moving along rapidly. And also construction plans under review for the Animal Eye Associates project. And there is now the existing building on Monroe for the Aria condominiums, the old extension office that's been demolished. And they do now, as of I think yesterday, have a grading permit so they can start site work on that for that project as well. So not a full building permit, but you could very soon start seeing more work on that site. So those are the updates I have. Any questions? Yep.
On the corner of Adams and Clay?
Yes.
Any motion on that?
Yeah, they are close. The small multifamily building at Clay and Adams. Mm-hmm. They've run into a little bit of a snag between county regulations on the sidewalk on Adams and our landscape regulations.
Oh.
So we're working with them right now to figure that out. But
it's been over a year, so have they reapplied and
Yeah, so their application's active. So anytime they're making progress working toward the permit, it's not considered the clock doesn't shut off on them. So
yeah.
Yes.
Jonathan, the subdivision plat that we alluded to in tonight's meeting, that earlier one by the Manor Grove property.
Yes.
Has that gone to City Council?
Yes, and it was approved. I'm sorry, I don't. We may have pulled that off earlier. It was on the last update, I guess. But yes, it was approved.
How's the brewery going?
I saw drywall.
Yeah, they're working hard. The steel up. They have the first beams, wood beams up on that outdoor bar. So they still tell us they're hoping to open in spring. That's going to be a lot of work. So.
What about the cannabis tire place?
If you haven't gone by that recently, they've gutted that thing too. It's just the bones left. So they're hard at work at it. And so
I can't get any more tires.
Not from NTB. They were closed before anyway. So,
I toured the James last week. It is impressive. I mean, has anyone else been in there and seen it? Oh my goodness! Friends of our 81-year-old friends are moving in on March 5th, and oh, wow. So we're helping them. Yeah.
Yes.
So that'll be. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Jonathan, some time ago, we were P&Z and City Council were involved in a subdivision, and I just reconnoitered around there today in conjunction with our petition tonight for Westview. And you go up and you kind of circle around Lily Avenue, and you mm-hmm. come to a subdivision where there is one house.
Yep.
The for sale signs are down.
Yep.
What became of all that?
It's still there's a it's on its third owner developer the subdivision. But I think they've received ARB approval for one additional house. But
the one right on 270?
Yeah, yeah, right against two. Yeah,
it was Emerson, right?
Emerson Estates was the original name, and they came back and changed it to Bluffs at Lily. So Bluffs at Lily is the current term, but it's the road, the infrastructure is in. The one house is occupied.
Yeah, it looked to be.
Yeah, so the one house is occupied. It's just a matter of the current owner developer selling the other lots.
Is it a local developer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you divulge who it is?
Yes. I'm trying to. I'm blanking on. Uh, It's Build STL, I believe, is the, he has a, they have a couple of different LLCs, so I don't know if that's the one tied to this development, but that's.
All right, thank you.
All right, anything else?
No. I have one thing. I stand corrected, the laundromat is not open 24. It's 6:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., so it is before 7, but it is that way.
To 10:30 p.m.?
Yeah. And then the other one is I was interested, and I've been emailing back and forth with the stained glass, and I'm now emailing with the father, the patriarch. And I'm looking to set up a tour some morning in the end of March. And sure, as I'm looking at a date on that, does anybody else want to tour the stained glass place?
Yeah.
Does anybody, who does not want to tour the stained glass? That's easier. All right, I will set up a date as early in the morning as I can and see how many people can come or whatever. But like I said, it was just kind of fascinating last time. Amy, what, you want to tour?
I do. I've been there, but I'd like to see.
But we can't do it before 7 a.m.
Can't do it before 5 o'clock.
Can't do anything before 7 a.m.
I, not my interpretation. I don't think he's interested in doing things before 8:30 is kind of what I got from it.
You're not going to disturb anyone over there.
Okay. Just a reminder, if you just, the item is past your, it's gone on past your commission purview, but still it's active with the city. So if. No, the stained glass studio.
Okay.
So it still hasn't been approved by city council yet. So it's still an active petition. So if you have a quorum of the commission there, just be extra careful not to discuss business.
But that will pass city council before the end of March.
It has the public hearing before. Oh, I'm sorry. When are you talking about doing the tour?
I was doing the end of March. But if you're saying for a safer thing to wait until the April or sometime, I'm happy to wait.
Yeah, it has public. It'll have its second reading at council the first meeting of April. So okay, if there's more than four of you, right? There's nine altogether. So if there's more than four of you that go, I would just play it safe and wait till.
But if we waited till
mid-April,
middle of April, we're okay.
If you don't mind.
Speaking of pickleball, any sound results?
No.
Still? When was that study done?
The test was in, was Thanksgiving week. So
it tells me that
as soon as it's finalized and I have something, I'll share the results. I don't have the results at this point.
And I will just again thank you for doing whatever you did that St. Peter's did not have to come planning and zoning.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan.
Only St. Peter's, that only council was subject to that one.
That's just the way that right-of-way vacations are handled here.
Take credit, Jonathan.
No. And I think somebody asked a question, and I explained it. You all will see applications that have vacation tied in with them if they're a development. But this request was a vacation request. There may be development later, but it was not in conjunction. And it's also much different than the usual vacations in that it's an active right of way. So
we don't have to approve public works moving, do we?
No.
Okay.
You don't get to anyway.
That would be fun.
No, it would not.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonathan.
Yep.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Sure.
Okay. Commissioner Ingleton, do I have a second? All right, Commissioner Salzer-Lutz, all in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed? Okay. Glad you have a good night.